This is the Land and Legacy Podcast, brought to you by Whitetail Properties Real Estate. We're your hosts, Adam Keith.
And Matt Dye. This is your weekly resource for habitat management, wildlife management, and recreational real estate. We hope you guys enjoy the show.
Loud and clear.
Welcome back, Land and Legacy Podcast. Woo wee! We are in the rut now, and peak rut, lockdown, sure all those things, all the things about the rut.
I sure don't feel like it.
Yeah, I do. You know, to me, the rut was one of those things. As a kid, it was like prime time, where it was like, oh, it's the rut, it's awesome. Now, as a 35-year-old who spends a good amount of time in the woods each fall, I almost I don't want to say dread, but I feel the pressure of killing a buck closer and closer to the rut. It's like there's pressure. Better get him killed. Oh, now it's the rut, and it's anyone's game. Well, a neighbor 2 miles away could kill the buck that we're hunting.
I meant more as already tired because of the time change, and we're now getting up at 4 a.m.
Yeah, I got up at 3:30 this morning. It's now in the evening hour, and we aren't in bed yet. And this is, if you will, rutcation for us, as a lot of people are doing it, and ours is going to be in broken up rutcation.
Rather than getting to take naps, we hunt, and then we go do farm stuff, and then we come back and hunt again.
This is terrible.
And then we get done hunting, and rather than getting to go to bed early, now we're filling water tanks for cows.
I know it. This farm life stuff is something else. And all that is going to change for us this month. And as we get permanent water tanks in some of these pastures, as part of our management plan for the cows is, hey, we have to rotate these things. We got to move them. And so the requirement of that is we have temporary waters. And if something malfunctions in our temporary water tanks, and, I mean, there's no other way to do it but now. So we're filling up tanks, and we were busy today running all over trying to get stuff lined out. So one of these days, I dream of the day that hunting for us, this rutcation, if you will, which ours, I frankly think that we see a cold front coming in mid to late October. We see that and say, that's rutcation. That's deer. That's when we take off. Because I dream of the day that you hunt in the morning, you go back, you have breakfast, you take a nap, you hang out, then you go back in the afternoon. Or hear me out. You hunt, you go back for a quick bite, and then you jump right back in a stand. And you just do that. That will be the day. But it ain't our life right now at all. Ain't even close. I'm exhausted when I wake up, and I'm exhausted all through the day, and there ain't no way to catch up. And then I go home, and I'm exhausted, and I'll still be exhausted just with all the young kids. So, yeah, not much sleep to be had. So, anyway, we're here in the rut. You know, it's, I don't even know, today's the November, tomorrow is the 8th of November, because I get to sing, I'll dig up the old Big and Rich song, 8th of November, and I'll listen to it, and I'll get goosebumps, and think about Veterans Day, because that's coming up, and enjoy, when was Veterans Day?
Was it Friday?
This Friday, I think, it's the 11th, I think, isn't it? I always, it's the 11th. I think it's always on the 11th. Sorry about that, folks. But anyway, this is, I don't know what we'll call it, a rut in the rut. For some of those people, you know, it feels like for us, the reason why the rut is so loved, but also so dreaded for like guys like us, where we, you know, we do all this work throughout the year. We do all this, you know, try to create cover, and you try to
improve food plots and you try to improve diversity on the farm, improve your forests, all the things. And then a hot doe runs across the road and yanks him over there with him, and the neighbor shoots him smoking a cigarette. And you're like, what in the world? That's what the rut is to me anymore. The rut is the time that I'm like, you know, it's anyone's game now, and I don't like it.
No, the more we manage these farms, the more we realize the benefits to hunting the pre-rut and late season.
Late season, yeah. Because the rut, you can still, you know, part of our hunting strategy during the rut and what we say a lot is, you know, dense cover, and creating those bedding thickets that are dense cover that the does seek. But that's not to say that a doe doesn't skirt out and go run over on the neighbor's farm. They totally can. And that's where I think a lot of it can be very frustrating for landowners like ourselves, where you're hunting hard and you're seeing good deer, but you're just not seeing the one deer. So yeah, we're going to discuss hunting the rut and being in a rut, even though, you know, we have different opinions. I don't feel like we're in a rut at all, and I'm certainly not, because I've seen deer almost every single set. You've had a few frustrating sets, but, like, for example, one day Matt and I saw, did I say 16? I felt like that. 16 one set. We saw, you know, 5 or 6 another set. We saw another 13 on another set. I saw, you know, a handful here and there. This morning was the closest to a rut, not to the rut, but a hunting rut as I've come.
Well, and I think that's partly because, you know, there's been the one deer that you have been going after more that up until recently kind of we knew pretty well the general area that he was hanging around.
Yeah.
And that area has had a lot more deer traffic, and that's where you've had a lot more of the rut action.
Yeah.
The deer that I've been going after off and on seems to cover a lot more area and is a lot more unpredictable.
It, to me, and that's a great debate. You know, there's many great debates within the hunting world, especially when it comes to targeting 5.5 mature bucks. 5.5-year-old bucks, or even 4.5-year-old bucks. Now, you know, we can debate that all year long, but we've elected to try to make sure that we're chasing 5.5-year-old bucks here on this farm. If we want Iowa deer, we do what Iowa deer hunters do that are getting that. Now, we won't have the same caliber by any means, but we can certainly control things like our trigger finger to replicate what they're doing in southern Iowa and why people flock there every year and drool about hunting there. We can do that here. And that's what we're trying to experiment and see what's happening, and we won't know for several years. Yeah. But
when you have the age structure that we've had,
oh, it's been terrible.
It takes a long time to get it to the point where you can go hunting and expect to see to have multiple 5.5-year-old deer running around, and that's when the rut could get really exciting.
Yeah.
But at this stage in the game, we've got
A
handful of 5.5-year-old deer.
Yeah.
Where
and it covers a pretty big area.
Yeah. So you're trying to predict their movements in the rut. And at times like the main deer, our top deer, you know, the last couple times we've had him on camera, it's in a place that's not easily hunted.
No, and that's where I was gonna say that, you know, for us, a big thing, and you know, we haven't killed a buck down here yet this year on the woodlands, and a lot of that is, you know, just the timing's been just a little bit off. Where, hey, he's, for example, one of our favorite sets is called Dollheart, and I shot a nice buck there years ago, and it's kind of what stuck for us. That's we're going to Dollheart, some heavy TSI, some dense cover close by. It's a really good time and time again, good stand, pre-rut, going into the rut. That's where I've seen 16 deer in the timber and 13 deer in the timber and had some pretty good hunts. Well, when he was in there and moving, the wind was wrong.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, we're waiting on the wind. We're waiting on the wind. We're waiting on the wind. Of course, we're running cell cameras, so for our people that are kind of understanding how we know that, we have cell cameras on scrapes, one in the food plot, one next to the bedding cut, both on scrapes, and we know when he's in there. And he's moving in daylight, but the wind's totally wrong, and to give you an example for the guys that are like, oh, I bet there's a wind. There's not. Stop even trying to think that there's a way to hunt it on a north wind. It's got to be hunted on south winds or southwest wind. Hold on, let me finish. And so you go in that way, and that's the only way to get there. If you come in from the south, you have to walk a deep cut ravine and blow every deer out walking there. So it's just impossible to do it.
And you're in an area where we have a lot of terrain.
Oh, the thermals, so much terrain.
I mean, yeah. A strong wind swirls. A light wind is thermals. Heavily influenced by thermals.
Yeah.
So it's very unpredictable.
Mm-hmm. And so like that stand, we usually try to wait till leaves begin to fall so we can have a little bit better chance of getting consistent winds. And, you know, that's kind of pushing back to the latter part of October. He was in there around the, when was that? The latter part of October.
Yeah.
And we had a good cold front, and he was moving in daylight. I think there was a picture of him at like 9 a.m. We're like, okay, let's go get him. Oh, let's look. Oh, next 4 days we can't because the wind's bad.
Well, that, I mean, that stand, you've seen a lot of deer coming from the east.
Yep.
A bench to the east. We need essentially a south wind.
Mm-hmm.
South or southeast, but southeast can at times, if it's strong enough, get swirly.
Swirly. Yep.
And what did we have? Over a week straight of southwest wind?
Yeah.
Or west?
Yeah.
So we can't go in there.
Yep.
Especially, and it was more in the mornings. Mm-hmm. You saw more morning movement. The afternoon movement wasn't great. So, like, the food plot, you could hunt it with a west or southwest wind.
Yeah.
But you can't get in there in the mornings.
Nope. And then in the evenings with that amount of does, it's like he's not really – he doesn't appear that he's chasing. He's just checking. So we could have the food plot filled up with deer right at dark and have to get out of there because he's not there in daylight. He's down by the bedding in daylight. And so it's just like, okay – once again, you're weighing out all the variables and trying to figure out when's the time to strike. And we just didn't get the time to strike with him around that bedding cut. About the time we started getting the good winds, okay, let's go in after him. We were seeing deer. But when you're seeing 6 does and fawns together, 4 does and fawns together, 2 doe with twins, you're like, why are they still grouped together? This doesn't act like rut deer. I'm not seeing lone does running around with their mouth open. These are just like they're doing their same old thing, bedding to food, food to bedding, and one day to the next. And you're like, okay, well, I don't know if it's happening here. And then all of a sudden, ping, he shows up on the south side of the farm. You're like, okay, he's moved. He's not around here again. Let's get the game plan together. Yeah, okay, around these stands, we need a east wind or a southeast wind. What's the wind? Oh, it's northwest. Cool. Okay, northwest for the next 4 days. Can't get in there after him. And that's been really kind of the rut for us so far, is knowing where our shooters are, knowing where these bucks are, but not having the ability to get in after them until they've already – the most recent information, as people always quote and say, well, the most recent information tells us this deer is here and there ain't no way to get to him. And so we just have to sit back and wait for a better time to strike. It's like that story with donuts, that 192-inch buck. I'm looking at his shed over there. A friend of ours, Seth Harker, kept hitting me up. When are you going in there after him? When are you going after donuts? I'm like, we can't. He is on a east-facing ridge that's 325-foot elevation change. And you come in over the top, and you blow them out. You come up through the bottom, the wind swirls. We don't really have a way to get there. And that's kind of what's been happening here. And yeah.
And that's the other deer we're chasing. That's he's been in that area that Donuts was in.
Uh-huh.
And you try, and that's where, like, you talk the rut in the rut. That's where I've had the kind of boring sits in the rut, is because you sit there and you have – you're trying to pick at the fringes and hope for the best.
Yep.
It's like, okay, we can go here and hope that he happens to come through.
Yeah.
But you're not in that. You're not in the ball game. You're on the edge. You're kind of sitting there on the sideline hoping for a chance.
Mm-hmm. You're sitting way up in the nosebleed hoping for a stray foul ball. and it doesn't happen very often. Another thing, too, that the woodlands, you know, if we're going to separate out the deer I was chasing, I have been chasing, is spending a lot more time, was spending a lot more time on the family farm. He's kind of shifted over to eastern side of the woodlands now, what we call it. It's basically the property you and I bought. But that farm has not seen the same level of, you know, like the family farm has dense, some dense pockets in a couple of places that we know of. Either we put them there or windstorm put them there, like the south portion of the farm near Kingsville. But the woodlands doesn't have that dense cover yet. We've cut in some clear cuts, but it's just like the first or second year of burn weed and mare's tail that's growing. It doesn't have a lot of grass, or it doesn't have a ton of hinge cuts. I can't think of, we have a few areas that we've hinge cut that were smaller, but we haven't set aside 2 acres of a dense bedding pocket on the woodlands very much. So the cover is not as great. And so,
I would
and the
say
deer population is so much lower.
The cover overall is better there than on the family farm because of the logging, but it's not as
defined.
Defined to make the movement more predictable.
Yeah, that's been. So we've been bouncing all over trying to get things. You've been bouncing all over. I've been doing something that I don't typically like. And that is riding the hole for those non-duck hunters in the world, going back to the same place and kind of bouncing back and forth. And that's what I've been doing. Dalhart to Kingsville, Dalhart to Kingsville, Dalhart to Kingsville, where I've hunted the same stand 3 or 4 times now. But the reason I feel confident in doing so is I'm still seeing a lot of deer out of it.
Yeah.
And I'm not having deer come down and blow at me or even know I'm in the area. I'm getting in clean, I'm leaving clean, and I'm not, apparently, if I thought that I was alerting deer, it would be a couple of things. I would have encounters in the stand where it's like, she blew out of here, or I would just see less deer. But when I go in, I see a lot, in like the doe groups at Dalhart, I've seen them multiple times, and they look for us in the tree if the wind's swirly or if they've caught us moving. Because of other deer, and they look, and then they go on about their merry way. So it's like, okay, they don't have a clue we're here.
And that's the benefit of not pushing the envelope.
Yeah.
Like, you could push the envelope and end up blowing them out of there and affecting the hunting and not being able to keep hunting that spot.
No doubt.
But that's an area that we are hunting the fringe, but we're in the ball game.
Yeah.
So that you can keep hunting that same spot.
Yep. And, I mean, the Big Ten that we're chasing, he was all over it.
And it would be really tempting to just keep going back in there and pushing it on the winds. Well, we might be able to do that. Like, you and I went in there one afternoon because you saw him in there.
Yeah, we saw the first morning Matt and I hunted there, we saw him up the hill 80 yards away. So the story on that one is we walk in. We believe the deer heard us walking. We got to the stand. They came to investigate, and we were – I mean, it was still pretty dark, but they could probably see some movement up in the tree. So here came a doe down the hill to investigate. And she tried to investigate and went everywhere she could. She pretty much went, you know, if you count 365 full circle, she went 320 degrees all the way around us at 20 and 30 yards, just looking, sniffing, trying to peg us. And as they started to finally calm down, a buck came up the hill and started to follow them. So they continued to head south, and then he showed up at 80 yards. He like walked into frame and then trailed him over the hill. And we're like, oh my goodness, that's our guy. That's who we're after. And so we went back. Was it that afternoon?
That afternoon, because you're like, he's in here. We've got to get back in there. And it was supposed to be the right wind.
Yeah, supposed to be
but
south.
A little stiffer, if I remember right. And we were kind of worried that
it's
it
still
might
full
swirl,
canopy.
That it might cause it to swirl. And sure enough, we got in there for, what, 5 minutes?
Yeah, we got in the stand, and maybe, like, our feet were on the platform for less than 5 minutes. And I said, nuh-uh, this is bad.
It started swirling the exact opposite direction it was supposed to. It was essentially coming over the ridge and swirling back in.
Yeah, just like a whirlpool effect, or a whirlpool effect in a creek.
And our hills are steep enough. We see that a lot. I mean, we've got a history with that where we know it's like, okay, that wind's pretty stiff. We better keep an eye on this because it might turn and go right back the direction it came from. And sure enough, that's what it was doing.
Yep. So we had to back out of there. And that's kind of a good reminder if we're trying to give some tips on getting out of the rut, within the rut. You know, we're hunting deer with deer bucks that we have history with. So we're trying to put together the recent information, what they're doing as in this present day, as well as past history. What did they do last year? Like the Big Ten, he showed up on the south side of the farm last year, November 7th, I think it was. Something like that. But he hadn't done it this year. So I keep anticipating to have pictures of him on Kingsville and go, okay, let's go there. We're not hunting the spring holler 10 now. We're hunting the Big Ten on Kingsville. But he hadn't done it yet. And he may never do it this year, or we may not have pictures of him.
There's been another 5.5-year-old deer there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a cause? Does he know that deer is down there and not going that direction?
No doubt. You don't know. All we know is that we're trying to limit the pressure by hunting with the correct winds, good access, sitting quiet. If the wind swirls, we get out of there. And so far, we're seeing deer. We just haven't put an arrow in one of the biggest.
And it's not even, like, you're seeing deer. How many 3.5-year-olds have we seen?
This is the best crop of 3.5-year-olds I've ever seen.
You've had, speaking of the morning you saw the Big Ten, you had your buddy that you've seen how many different times?
Four. I've seen this mainframe 11-pointer who might be 2.5, could be 3.5, four different times. And not just like from the same stand. I saw him on the very northern side of the farm and the very southern side of the farm.
I saw him
on the very northern side of the farm, and then I saw him on the very northern side of the farm again. Same stand three times, different stand the other time.
I saw him the time on the south side because we saw two other, was it two or three other 2.5, 3.5-year-old bucks?
Yep. Three, I think. Maybe two. Three total, two other ones besides the 11-pointer. And that was the one that one of those mornings was when Matt and I shared the footage of him on our Instagram reels and Facebook reels where we got to experience it all that morning. That was like this is early November hunting right here. We got bucks making rubs. We got a buck who's grunting and doing a grunt that I can say is not one that I typically hear. Usually I hear the click grunts, the like brat, 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 like stuff like that. That one, you heard it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was like, holy cow. Like to the point where when I first heard it, I'm like, is that my stomach growling? No, that's him making that noise. Just a growl, if you will. I thought, by golly, now I know what Mark Dury was talking about all those years ago with the old mad buck growl. I think that was him. Yeah, it was a buck growl, and Primos had the buck roar. Somebody else had one, and I was like, hey, I could, you know, that call sounded pretty good compared to that right there. But I don't hear that very often. I hear the brit, brat, brit, 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 stuff like that. And by the way, did you see, I'm making these sounds with my voice. Shout out, probably not listening. I've never seen the guy before in my life, but have you seen, there was a guy doing, I mean, he was sounding like a buck grunting and a fawn bleeding. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Crazy. Sounded so good. He's doing it with his natural voice. But anyway, that was, you know, we saw him rubbing. We saw him chasing. We saw him grunting. He bedded down. The doe started kind of loafing in the brush. He just bedded down. I was like, whatever, I'm going to set. You know, kind of following that old phrase. How's that go? If it's why run when you can walk? Why walk when you can stand? Why stand when you can sit? Why sit when you can lay down? Why lay down when you can sleep? And that's what that buck was kind of taking to heart. He's like, well, she's standing. I'm not going to stand. I'm going to sit down. And he kind of sat there and, oh, well, I'm going to lay down. And about the time she started moving, that's when he went, got after her. So, you know, that was a more, and he went down and started scraping too. And it's like, you know, for us, we're in a weird situation because we're trying to target 5.5-year-old bucks and there's really not that many of them. And so we'll go into these core areas, these little bedding pockets or just downwind of them. And it's like, man, we're going to see a lot of deer. The chances of putting an arrow in one of them is pretty slim because we're not coming here to shoot does. And there's really a handful of deer on this whole farm that we're hunting. And I haven't seen them on camera in a few days. We're hunting hunches right now. And we go in and we see a bunch of deer. We see really nice young deer. And we say, if we were younger, we'd be having the time of our lives. But now we're older and we have goals and we have specific management practices. We're a little bit like, yeah, this is fun, but I'm ready to shoot one.
Yeah.
So.
And the hunches, I mean, it was a hunch when you went into Dahlhart and saw him.
Oh, yeah, totally. It was like, okay, he's in the area. Let's go. And by golly.
I mean, we hadn't had him on camera for a day or two.
Yeah, it'd been a couple of days.
But it was a hunch, like, let's go for it.
I think you're probably still
the
in there.
Wind's right, go in there.
And those does, as they moved up the hill, all of a sudden I saw a bigger buddy, and I said, Matt, that's our guy. And I hadn't even seen the rack yet, pulled the binos. I was like, whoa, yep, definitely him. And, you know, mid-60s, 10 probably, maybe bigger. We don't know. He's got a big frame for the Ozarks. He's a heck of a buck. And so, yeah, I mean, that's been kind of the last 3 days or 2 days. He's been on that slope with a terrible – he's been on an east slope, and we have east winds. So we can come in over the top, but there's hardly anything that is bringing him up to the top. He's basically running the side slope is what my gut tells me. And so we're a little bit like, well, come off the slope and we'll hunt you. And he ain't done it. So
we hunted over the ridge this morning, and we actually did see a buck chasing a doe.
Yep.
But
not him.
One doe within bow range.
One doe. And that kind of goes to your rut hunting and a lot of guys. Doe comes running by, mouth open, but nobody follows. Yep. And we could hear another deer over the hill, but did not come in.
That's the second time in the last week.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Matt and I had that happen to us somewhere, too.
Yeah, you had it at Big Piney.
Yeah. Doe come through, think, oh, yeah, she's got a buck behind her. And even both times I've thought I've heard something walking.
Yeah.
Especially with Matt. Like, I know we heard something walking, and what we suspected was maybe it was a group of does, and he'd come in and checked them out.
Yep.
And possibly had the other, because we could hear some running around, and then she comes by, and nothing was behind her, and she walks right on off, looking behind her the whole time.
Yep.
Just had the classic look of a doe that was being chased, but was not being chased.
Yep, no doubt. And so that's really kind of the name of the game right now. We're hunting very specific deer with very specific conditions, and the stars have not aligned for us yet to go in and make it happen. So we just keep plugging away, and we play cat and mouse. We try not to overpressure. Gun season starts on Saturday, so a few days from now, four days from now. We'll be putting on the orange vest and, yeehaw. I'm not too thrilled about that ever. I really wish we could just chase whitetails, the whole time, with archery and camo. but anyway, you know, that's what's happening Saturday. So we're going to keep plugging away and, plugging away through this week. And, you know, for us, we keep trying to find isolated bedding cover or defined bedding in an area that we know these bucks are around and just get in and with the right wind and wait for it all to happen. That's pretty much your best chance. And so for the guys that are listening, that's what's on the plate is finding dense cover and trying to sit tight, set on downwind sides and see what shows up. Matt. It's been a long day. 3:30 came early, and it's going to come early again tomorrow. You got any final thoughts?
I don't think
nope.
So.
No final thoughts from Chainsaw Chad. We're going to wrap this up so we can get to bed, so we can be back in the tree stand tomorrow morning. Guys, if you're hunting, we wish you the best. Be safe, And if you kill something, tag us in your pictures. We'd love to share it. And if you're using strategies we often promote and you make it happen, certainly share it with us. We'd love to have you on the podcast to discuss all your success. Until then, we'll catch you next week. Yep.